Way to get everybody's hopes up. Nothing.
Get ready to laugh out loud with Wise and Nerdy, the show hosted by two hilarious dads who bring their unique blend of wit, wisdom, and nerdiness to the airwaves. From sharing hilarious anecdotes about their own experiences to giving advice on navigating the ups and downs of life, these two dads have got you covered. But that's not all. They're also obsessed with all things nerdy, from comic books and sci-fi movies to video and board games. So whether you're a fellow dad, a pop culture fanatic, or just in need of a good laugh, this is Wise and Nerdy. And now let's have some fun.
Joe, are you ready for some fun tonight?
Yeah.
That was a pretty good intro. I like that.
That was weak. This is Wise and Nerdy, where fatherhood meets fandom, and we're always here to help find your fandom. I'm forcing that, but I'm going to keep forcing it till that round peg fixing that square hole. But the man who can fix square holes with round pegs is none of that. I've mentioned him once or twice on the show already, is Stoner Gump. We don't have applause on the button. We just, yay, there you go. So his name is Dan. He goes by Stoner Gump on all the social media. It's a lot of fun. This is where I guess, Joe, see, you let me get going, Joe. You know better. You're supposed to stop me. What are you supposed to do right now?
Go, you moron!
No, what are you supposed to do right now? We're going to talk about
the question of the week.
No. All right. We're going to talk about
question of the week.
I'm going to take your buttons away, Joe. This is, look, you're embarrassing me in front of my hero. Stop. Be professional. We're professional.
You're welcome.
I like the buttons, Joe.
Oh, thanks. Why is everybody against me in the world? I do not understand. All right. So, parental advisory warning here. No, we're not going to get off into four-letter words and graphic topics, but we are going to talk about some more daddy-level topics. And so if you like to listen to this in the car with your kids, they may ask questions based off of some of the things that we talk about tonight. And that's what we wanted you to know. That way you can choose to skip this episode. It has to do with broccoli, and that's where I'll leave it. So
if your kids ask, it's broccoli, not broccoli.
A question that you probably haven't got yet, Dan, because in the videos everywhere, even tonight, you're wearing the cross, but of course you are an elevated gentleman, and I expect at some point in the South somebody's like, how's that cross not burn your chest? You're the devil. Have you gotten that yet?
I don't know if that works on the devil. He's not a vampire.
No, I don't think that's how it got. I mean, it's kind of a funky symbol anyway when you start looking at it. But yeah, my dad was my youth minister growing up. I was a youth leader for a couple of years. And I've studied the Bible in depth. So those are questions I welcome, and they always go viral. So I never shy away from them.
So I did not know that. I did not know that when I picked out the question of the week tonight. And Dan doesn't, he's not in the notes. Dan does not know what the question of the week is. So before we get to that, I do want to make another big announcement. How I got to meet Stoner Gump and how we got to talking everything is I did follow him on TikTok and fell in love with his content. The realness there, the skits there, everything there is amazing. And if you're into broccoli, not broccoli, you'll find a lot of great educational material there. So I reached out to him. Is that rain? Is that clap? Oh, you went down there clapping. That's what you did. That was the worst clap. Okay, this is how this goes, Dad. Is I try to be professional, almost 20 years in the business. Joe here, he's the fun man. I mean, he brings the funny to the table. He keeps me on track. Can I make my announcement, Joe?
I guess.
All right. This is our first ever real pro guest at DragonCon for Digital Media Track. Found him on TikTok. Dan was agreed to talk with me, and it is official. He's on the website. The Digital Media Track will have Stoner Gump there all weekend long this year, and I'm stoked.
Well, I thought it was like all week long.
Well, okay, it's a week that so it's Thursday to Monday. Yeah, so Thursday to Tuesday.
Right.
Really Tuesday, because
that's a long weekend.
I put that in his rider that he didn't read the small print that he has to come to the cookout after. So
I'm planning on it. What's happening?
It's tasty.
Stop distracting me.
It's the Never. Question of the week.
I swear, didn't know the background. On a scale of 1 to 10, how strict were your parents, and how do you compare it to them?
So pretty strict. Like I said, my dad was my youth minister. But he was also in his younger years was a lot, like me. And so a lot of that came across, but yeah, he was strict. But he was also a good dad. He wasn't like overbearing or anything. So I took a lot of good from him and, you know, got rid of the things that I didn't like and, you know, just tried to improve upon it. For the most part, it's just the temper. He's a redhead and got that vein that pops in his head. So that was the biggest thing I tried to cut out with being a dad.
You really buried a very deep lead there when you say you tried to remove the stuff you didn't like and keep the stuff. Mm-hmm. That's a 30-year process I've been going through. Well, not quite there. I guess 20-year process I've been going through trying to remove, not saying, oh, my parents were so strict and I hate everything, but picking out, okay, I actually did learn this. But before I go there, Joe, what about Papa NASCAR?
Oh, it depended on whether or not I was getting on his nerves, to be honest. he had a short fuse as well. And I say that he probably told me to do stuff multiple times and I ignored him and then he would blow up. He would just go straight to, well, not straight to, but once he got mad if I didn't like do my chores or whatever, you're grounded for a week. There was one summer where I was grounded the entire summer. and he would find stuff for me to do that I swear it had no point. We had this giant wood pile that we had a wood burning stove. So in the winter we would burn wood to keep our house warm instead of using heat and electricity and whatnot, or gas. I don't even know what ours was. Anyway, regardless, there was a summer where he had me move the entire pile and
fortressed you.
I have no idea what that means.
Oh, all right. I'll give you the reference in a minute.
but this pile, it spanned probably 30 feet on our 8-foot tall fence.
A pile of what?
Wood.
Okay.
Half of it I chopped myself anyway. And so he made me move it to a different location and then not a month later made me move it all back. And I was like, what was the point of that? And then he had me move just a portion of it closer to the house and put a tarp over it. And so I was like, what?
Build Why? Character.
In general, if I didn't tick him off, he was pretty laid back. And then my mom, as long as you didn't bring up anything that her sheltered upbringing triggered. So like I found a magic card and she was like, oh, that's of the devil. Or, we can't have playing cards in the house, which we had playing cards anyway. She just didn't see them very often.
She told me, I'll just buy a new pack.
And so like different things like that, as long as it wasn't some kind of, in her mind, a taboo thing, she was relatively laid back as well. So as far as how strict they were, other than a couple of subjects, I'd probably put them at like a 3.
So how do you compare? Because I honestly, my answer is, Joe, I think you're way stricter than your parents.
I think I am too, to be honest.
Why do you think that is? Why'd you swing that way?
I don't know. I just did. Sure. There's Kelsey, definitely there's definitely things that my parents really excelled at that I try to do better at. And try to incorporate into my parenting, making sure that I spend time with my kids, making sure that I'm creating memories with my kids, because nobody knows how long they're going to be on this earth. And your kids are your legacy. And so I want to build memories, and I want them to, they will remember me being strict. It's going to happen. Every kid does remember the strict moments, but I also want there to be a counterbalance where they remember the good times and the fun times.
Yeah. And we've had that discussion off and on with how you treat Christmas or this and that, and the other, my father started off as a youth pastor, became a pastor, and that's what he was the rest of his life. My mom was a pastor's wife, then a mom, in that order. My dad was not strict. He let my mom do everything, and my mom was super strict. I mean, super strict. And there's, you know, I've told lots of stories off and on with all that stuff. On a scale of 1 to 10, it could be worse. I think anything could always be worse. I didn't get locked in a basement. You know, I didn't get chained to anything, you know, so it could be worse on strictness. I did get to have a TV in my room to play my Nintendo on. So I'd rate them like an 8 out of 10. And how I am is maybe I swung a little too far the other way where, I mean, there's certain things I never forced my kid into any kind of religion. You know, I told them my views. I let them go to all the different churches they want to try or not try, blah, blah. But I worked through a lot of issues with my first set. So I have 4 kids, Dan, and I call them set 1 and set 2. Set 1 is 18 months apart, and then set 2 is also 18 months apart from each other, and then there's a gap. So it's just
right.
A pretty sizable gap.
Yeah, 5 years between the 2 middle kids. And I'm not even going to do the math on the oldest to the youngest. So set 1 went 5 and 6.5 years essentially before the second came around. So I worked through issues, and I actually had a talk with my son about, hey, you're the firstborn. I'm going to mess up with you the most. You will at some point in your life go, because I did this. I was the firstborn. So you'll at some point in your life go, that's not fair. You don't treat the siblings like you treated me. And I said, and you'll be right. But that's because I'm making my mistakes with you. Yeah, that's true, Random Kid. I was so worried I screwed up on one set. I had another set. I got backups.
I'll try again.
I'll leave you in the prison. I don't care. I got backups, man. You screw up. So, but yeah, that's, I swing a little bit the other way where now with my first set being 19 and almost 18, yeah, my oldest just turned 19, so his sister will turn 18 in October. I could have been stricter. You know, there were some things like, okay, while I do not agree with how my mom did things, and I do not have happy memories for a lot. I mean, I have happy memories in general.
Right, but you got bad ones
but
too.
Yeah, yeah, and especially when it came to discipline and the reasoning and this and that, I realized, like, there is probably a reason I am who I am today about doing things right and making sure I can learn the system so I don't break the system, but I can fly around it like Neo, you know, and break the code on inside. And my kids don't get that. They're more normies. Oh, also, a thing I say a lot, Stoner Gup, is that I'm a god among men. It's Rock God of Podcasting. And I don't like it when my kids act like normal kids. They're supposed to be demigods, not normal kids. So that's different. So I want to add on to that question real quick. What expectation did you put on your kids that now you realize is unreasonable? While y'all think about it, I'll give you an example. Like with my older two, I always expected them to be at this high level of standards because that's my standards. And inside the house, they do dumb things that kids do, right? They leave their shoes out or left or whatever, and they mess up. And I get overly mad at, or used to, I get overly mad at them because I had this high standard. Then we go out in public, and I saw the standards of their peers were way lower. I'm like, oh, yeah, they're a kid. So that's kind of like, that was an unreasonable expectation I put on my kids. What about you guys?
So I think the biggest is the youngest, because you forget how they're supposed to act, especially if you got an age gap. So I've got an 18-year-old, 17-year-old, 13-year-old, and then I've got my kiddo that just turned 8. And so being out in public, for instance, you got the rest of them acting like humans, and then you got the smallest, you know, running off and doing God knows what.
The face. There's a real visceral memory right there. But no!
There's lots of them. So many of them. We went to the movies one time. Now, not one time, we go often, but anyway, the gentleman that takes your tickets at the movies, I don't know if he's got CP or what. I think it's cerebral palsy is what he got, what he has. And I think my youngest was 6 at the time. And I always teach my kids, always give out random compliments, you know, try to be nice to strangers because there is no expectation of it. And so it means a lot more. And so we go up, we give the guy our tickets. You know, he hands us our tickets back. And my kiddo looks at him and he says, "I hope you get feeling better soon." And then he walks off. I don't know what the hell to say at that point. This guy's in a wheelchair just, you know, holding our tickets. "Hope you get better soon."
Wow. Joe, that
the intention was right. Good.
Yeah, right. The heart was there. What's your unreasonable expectation?
Oh, roll that dice.
That was Kurt. No. That wasn't me. That wasn't me. I was going to talk, Joe.
Jerk.
No, what? I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, like, my 4-year-old definitely gets away with a lot more than the other two did, and I need to remind myself that we have been really bad about letting him get away with stuff that we really didn't let the others get away with. For instance, when he gets mad, when he was younger, when he would get mad at his brothers, he'd smack them. And we definitely should have, gotten after him a lot more. But his older brothers were being jerks to him. So we, but now, that's his default go-to whenever he's mad at somebody. No, well, a family member. He doesn't go around smacking random people, which is always good.
Well, I would say always. Sometimes random people deserve it. But
I mean, you're not wrong. but yeah, that's kind of his go-to. If he's mad at his brothers, he just runs up, pulls his arm back, and bam, smacks him. And so, yeah, we are dealing with the consequences of our lax parenting with him when he was younger.
I just went Devo's like, no words.
Boys.
Yeah. Devo, I did not get any words out there. Just sounds. Partially it's because we realize, well, for me, I'll speak for myself. I realized what I thought was super important and going to be devastating wasn't, right? They lived through this. They lived through that. You know, nothing, the world didn't end, all this other stuff. So you get more lax, but also it's a spectrum, right? Of, like I said, I realized maybe if I'd been stricter, like my mom held really high standards on me and was very strict and I would lose privileges and all that other stuff. Maybe if I was stricter, I would have had slightly more positive outcomes. Not that I'm having really negative outcomes with the kids, but I could see where I've had to do course correction. So for the record, my oldest son dropped out of high school 2 months before he's finished. 2 months. But I turned to my other three and like, that's never going to happen with you. And I apologize. I feel like I can never with him, but it's going to affect you now because all of you are still in school and you have no choice. So we course correct, right? We do that. All right. Enough randomness. We need more randomness.
Roll that dice.
Time for a commercial break.
Wait a second. No. Come on, Joe. What are you thinking? You smelling toast over there?
What do you love?
Kurt always gets that wrong. What is love? That?
How do what I? Do you think about?
What? The Council of Dads.
The Council of Dads.
Okay. Here we go. So, parental advisory being what it is, the question I put down, what do you think about for the Council of Dads is, having sensitive conversations with your kids. And I realized the first time my son, he was homeschooled through fifth grade, my oldest. And in fifth grade, there were reasons we decided to go and send him to public school. And he was about halfway through the year. And keep in mind, preacher's kid, I did not discover broccoli until I was 30 something years old. And my life's been lived backwards. Everything I should do as a teenager, I discover now, and I basically do now, except sleeping around. I don't do that. I have my wife. I'm good. When he came home with the big Dare shirt on, I was like, oh, I need to talk to him about some things. So we had, which each of the kids, as they hit certain ages, we had to have sensitive talks. Now, Joe, obviously, you might have a different sensitive talk, like birds and bees or when somebody first experiences hate in your house, whatever it is. But how do you guys approach having these sensitive conversations with your children?
I mean, it kind of depends on the conversation.
Well, here, let's talk about the broccoli.
Okay, so that's a question I get often from parents is, hey, at what age and how do I talk to my kids about this? And first off, are you in a legal state? Because that's the biggest denominator right there. I'm in a legal state, so I'm super honest. I'm super open. Now, before we became a legal state, I kept everything hidden. Anytime my kids did, in fact, see it, I was rolling up a special cigar or, you know, when they were super young, I told them it was dandelions. There's a story. I had got me a fresh batch of dandelions once, and I had gone to the bathroom. I was working on rolling up some cigars, and I come back out, and my oldest was like 5 at the time, and my dandelions were gone. And so I start looking around, and I go to the bathroom, and there's remnants of my dandelions in the sink. He thought that the dining room table was dirty because I had a piece of paper there that I had shredded up my dandelions on. So he went ahead and flushed it down the drain for me.
He's just cleaning up for you.
What other sensitive talks have you had to have? That was the first one, at least, was tough with 4 kids. I'm sure you've had many, but yeah.
Yes. So one second, it's probably my 8-year-old even.
Yeah, so at my house, we've had a bunch of different sensitive talks with our kids. One that we recently had was about the difference between drugs and medicine. And we talked about how even medicine prescribed by a doctor can become drugs if abused. And so we talked about how medicine is something that's used for your benefit. It is a substance or chemical or whatever, you know, whatever version it comes in, that's used for your benefit. And drugs are something that is detrimental and harmful to you. And we also talked briefly about addiction, but, you know, how much they understood because they're relatively young still is another thing. And I haven't had this chat with them yet, but I envision that in the future I will have a talk to them about my dad. I've had this talk or this story. I've shared it with you, Charles, about my dad, how this was years and years ago before any states had legalized broccoli. And he was growing it, or he went to his doctor, was trying to figure out how to get his blood pressure down. And he had tried all kinds of different medicine and he couldn't get his blood pressure to stabilize, to normalize. And his doctor said, look, I can't tell you to do this, but it might help if you had some dandelions. And so my dad was growing dandelions and he thought he was being sneaky. He wasn't. He had a bookshelf that he had lined up just right with his closet door. So when he opened the closet door, it stood right up against the bookshelf and he had screwed the bookshelf to the door. And behind it was where he was growing his dandelions. and I'm like, you know, being young, we're like, there's a light over there.
That doesn't seem right.
I watched Scooby-Doo. I know what's going on.
And it did. It normalized his blood pressure and everything. But he felt guilty about it because it was illegal. And so he went off of it. And I can't help but wonder if him going off of it and his blood pressure going back up is what inevitably was one of the factors that led to his brain aneurysm that he died from. And so he may have lived a fair bit longer if he had still been using his dandelions. So, right.
Go ahead.
Yeah. That's a conversation that I'm sure I'll have with my kids in the future that look, regardless of what people say, things are not as black and white as people would like you to know. There's correct ways that you can use things that, that God has given us on this earth, and there are ways that they can be abused. And it doesn't matter what it is, if whether it's substances, medicine, drugs, food, anything can really be abused to an extreme if you take it to an extreme. And so
everything is permissible, not everything is beneficial.
Yep.
To you, I give you all seed bearing plants and herbs.
You're triggering me, sir. Flashing bats.
Amen.
You know what? Along those lines, I had to have the talk about know your audience really young with my kids. We give them a hard time about not, they don't, we swear in our house a lot.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, I do. And so I was like, we tried that TV parenting thing of when we're expecting the first. Well, I was like, we got to clean our language up. Like, I'm a paramedic. That's not a thing in my world. It's a punctuation in my world. So I'll try. And funny enough, she's the one that taught her first kid their first cuss word. And it wasn't me. And that was the funniest thing. But we realized.
Yeah, Charles came to that conversation. He was like, the we do.
You and your buttons. But
language is just descriptors, and it's, I know. They have meanings given to them by us. It's all in how we use them. That's how I teach my kids. If you're using it in a hateful way, it's wrong. If you're not, it's not.
Now, not getting too deep into, I don't know what your relationship is, but you, if your dad was still youth pastor mentality, my parents are very religious still, and so I had to teach them, if you say something like this at Mimi and Keepaw's house, there will be consequences.
I just
said consequences. You never know. You go to school and say something, there could be consequences. So you really need to know.
There is always freedom of speech. There is not freedom of consequence.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, and we talk to our kids about consequences, both that there are positive consequences and negative consequences based on your actions. Because I don't want the term consequences to be a loaded thing for my kids. I want them to realize that consequences just means what happens based on what you did.
Speaking of consequences, promoting the show over and over again brings some negative consequences, because this is a guy who's known me since I was 15 years old. I'm not sure if I want that person on my show telling my secrets. You know what I'm saying? he's known me a long time. We got to recently catch up.
Let us know all of his dirty secrets. You can reach out to the show, WNNshow@gmail.com. Or if you would prefer to leave a voicemail with all of his dirty secrets, you can head on over to wiseandnerdy.com/calldad and leave us a voicemail with all of Charles's dirty secrets.
Just remember, we may not be your fathers, but we'll always be your daddies. Conversations are sensitive, and you realize all three of us are kind of on that same theme of balance and flow. You're right place, right time, moderation, knowing where you are, knowing how you do things. The hardest one to have, I think, is when a child experiences hate and either to themselves or somebody around them. And especially if it comes from somebody they love, you know, and that's always a tough one. Maybe that's what we should put on another show, Joe, for Daddy Tell Me a Story of how we dealt with some of the ugliness in the world when our kids were still kids. And, well, yours still are. So we are in those different phases of life. Yours are still under 10. Your oldest is
11.
Mine?
11.
No, yeah. My oldest is 11.
No, I counted yours. Yours was on purpose. Oops. But no, sorry.
My 18-year-old was born when I was, 17. So I don't know about on purpose.
Too many jokes. I will say that makes me slightly jealous. I had another friend of mine who his oldest, we were both around 35, 36 at the time. His youngest was graduating high school. He had two kids. His youngest graduating high school. And like, man, because he had his first when he was 17 and his second when he was 18. He really didn't learn until the second one how to handle that.
My first year, 17 and 18.
Yeah. So, but that's where he stopped. But he married the mom and they were still together. And I was like, well, I can imagine you've got so many stories of how tough it was being a teenage father and this and that. but I see you at 35 and I'm going, you still got a lot of life in you to go to parties. So you mean in 2 months, you're going to be kid free and you can do whatever you want, whenever you want. I'm a little jealous, just a little. But then you got into my boat where you have an 8-year-old. My youngest is 10. So,
yeah, you know, but I got 10 more years.
I'm sure you love all 3 of your kids that you claim. So, Where are we? We told all that. So,
roll that.
So, on the.
Oh, go ahead. He's going to roll the dice. You tell us.
I was saying, Joe, on the topic of talking with your kids about substances, the way I go about it with hard things and the way I've always explained it, because there does not do it justice. I explain to my kids that there are things in this life that if you try them, you in fact will love them more than everything. You will love them more than your spouse. You'll love them more than your friends. You'll love them more than your health and your job. That is why we never touch them. It's because they feel amazing, because it will feel so amazing that you'll give everything else up for them. And that's the approach I go with the hard stuff, because there doesn't do it justice when they say it's bad for you. It's going to make your teeth rot out. That's not the problem. It's that you can try it once and you're done.
Yep. I did not think about that one. I've used similar to that's good. It's good stuff. So what did you roll?
Like when I went in.
Keep your thing, man. We're having fun.
We'll edit. Okay. So I went in for surgery. I had my appendix had burst, and I was sitting in the ER for like 7 hours before they finally took me back. And I was sitting there for another couple hours before somebody finally came back and they said, "Hey, have they given you anything for pain yet?" And I'm sitting there, you know, doubled over. I said, "No." And so they hooked me up to an IV, and I don't know what they gave me. My brother was sitting there with me. They gave me something, and he asked me, like, you know, 2 minutes later, "How do you feel?" And I said, "This is the best I have ever felt in my life. Do not tell me the name of this. I don't want to know," because it felt freaking phenomenal. And that's the danger of these things, is I've never experienced that much bliss. Now, I don't want to know what it was.
Fair enough.
Because I'm dumb.
Let's read that one, Joe. My mother-in-law said our bodies will be full of morphine in heaven.
She had morphine once after, actually she had a brain aneurysm the same year my dad did. And they gave her morphine after that, and she loved it.
All right. So what did we roll, sir?
What are you nerding out about now?
All right. So, Dad, you've got something you've been watching lately that you're loving.
We've been watching the Fallout series. We just finished the 4th episode. We're trying to stagger it, make it last, because once we get to the end of it, then I'm sure we've got to wait like 2 years.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, because they've aired all of them, right? Of the first
season. Right. They've got eight episodes out, and it's good so far. It's just... usually we binge watch the stuff and then we're just upset the next day because it's done.
Yeah.
Did you come down off that high?
So are you a big fan of the games?
So I played through Fallout 4, and then I played Fallout 76 for quite a while, but it never really got good.
But you understand the lore and everything.
Yes. Yes.
My biggest concern was, like, I tried to watch Halo, and I wasn't like the biggest Halo player, but I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the stories behind it. And as much as I tried, I don't think it was a bad show. Obviously, a lot of people don't think it's bad because it got a second season. It didn't hook me. So I was afraid that Fallout might do that, because I've played Fallout from the first game on.
Well, so they're going from a vault that's not been touched in any of the games. So the storyline's kind of open for interpretation. But as with any show that goes off something I love, like the Wheel of Time series, I've read through the Wheel of Time books a bunch. That's why I flunked out of high school, because I was reading the Wheel of Time series. And so when the series came out, I had to just watch it with an open mind. I knew it was not going to be the books. If I watched it with anticipation of the books, I'd be pissed off. And so I just enjoyed the show. It's got a good story. It's got good action. It's not the Wheel of Time, but it's a pretty good show.
Well, it's just a different turn of the wheel, right?
Sure. Yeah, there you go. It's a different thread.
All right. You're also playing. So there's a story he told in the Patreon part of this about influencer game. If you want to hear that story, patreon.com/wise_nerdy. But you're talking about you're also playing a game, sound like with one of your kids right now. The Dying Light.
We play lots of games. So my kid that just moved to this house here, he's next door to me. He's got his PC set up. And then my other two older ones, they got their PC set ups, and then we got multiple Xboxes. So we do a lot of gaming together. Right now with my 17-year-old, I'm playing Dying Light 2. We're playing through that. That's a gory one. Was not expecting what was in there.
I got into Call of Duty during COVID because my oldest got it and I wanted something to do with him, so I got it. And when he stopped playing it, I was out. But I spent a good year and a half playing that.
Yeah.
So I get it. Yeah, it's really fun to find something you can play with your kids at any level.
The problem is we all got ADHD, so our Steam libraries are giant. You know, I'll finally go, guys, let's play it. And so we'll all get it. And then, you know, a week later, we're off of that game and we found something else.
So, kiddos, there's some things that we don't try because they feel too good. And the Steam library is absolutely one of those. Everybody I've ever heard of it has one. And it's not five games. It is games you, if you spent the rest of your life playing, you couldn't get through your library. So I implore you, children, Broccoli is your friend. Steam library is not.
Pick a game and stick to it. Damn it. It's expensive.
Humble Bundle. I'm assuming you know about Humble Bundle.
Are they still around? I thought they had shut down.
I don't know. We'll talk
about Humble. What are they?
They would sell Steam codes, basically. Humble Bundle was a place. It started off as you can name your price for a bundle. So there's these five games and Steam codes and up to, you know, whatever you want to pay for it. Then we'll add these three if you'll pledge up to like $11 or so. And so you could kind of name your price and get a bundle of games, and they're all Steam codes. And that's how a lot of my friends ended up with massive libraries because, like, well, that's too good to pass the whole LucasArts collection for $15. There's 30 games in that collection, man. I get the price, but okay. Yeah. It is still around, Rando.
Well, they always got their sales going on, and, you know, they got their summer sale, their spring sale, their winter sale, and you go through and pick up a bunch of randomness that you play once. I've got so many games I've never touched.
You're not wrong. I bought the whole Valve suite a while back, and I played like three of the games out of them. But it was so cheap, I was like, okay, $6. And I never played Portal or Portal 2 before, and so I was like, even if I just play Portal and Portal 2, $6 is well worth it.
Yeah. We bought me and my son both bought an indie collection they had out. I think it was like $36, and it was 100 and something different indie games. They are all utter dog poop. I should have read through the list. I was like, $36 for over 100 games, let's get it. And I called my son up and he's like, can you get it on mine too? I said, sure, let's get it. And I don't think either of us have tried them. Like, it's like Paper Airplane Games and Origami and
stuff that used to be on like flashgames.com or whatever, basically.
Yes. They conned me.
So my nerding out is a little bit different. I am an AMC A-lister, and I go to all the Screen Unseens, where they do you get a preview of a movie 2 weeks before its release, and you don't know what it is. So you just show up. They usually know the rating, so it could be rated R. Last night's was PG-13 or PG, I can't remember. Or not last, Monday nights. And first time, Joe, first time since I've been going, when they started back in October, I think it was, November, somewhere in there, we've been going to everyone. First time we didn't like one, we actually stepped out. And it was...
What?
It was Spy X Family Code White, which is an anime that I'm unfamiliar with. I've been seeing the previews come up.
Is that the one with the little girl?
Yes.
Yes. I guess going into it without having any of the...
That was the part of
predecessor.
It. So... we would have stayed if my wife's like, she's not interested, but she would stay if I wanted to watch it. She knows I like the Demon Slayer. You know, I was like, honestly, I've never watched any episode, and the previews itself didn't look bad, but didn't grab me. Here's the other kicker. For the US release, they are doing two different releases coming up. One is the dubbed version and one is the subbed version. and they're releasing that nationwide. This was the subbed version. So I was like, again, didn't walk out. I was like, this is trash. I was like, oh, I don't know if I want to sit and read this. I like the subbed versions myself, but I don't know if I want to sit and read a screen on an anime that I wasn't that, I'm not familiar with and wasn't that into. So that was my first. Now, I will say, I am in rural, well, I'm in southern Atlanta. So it's kind of rural Georgia and kind of not. There's a lot of people walking out there going, what is this? I'm like, no, this is exactly what we signed up for. This is exactly what we signed up with Screen Unseen. You get usually a Cannes Film Festival or Sundance Film Festival movie. Most of them, the theme has been they've been based on a real person, more or less. That's not always true because obviously we got anime here. There's the Book of Clarence at one point. But there's you just don't know what you're getting. But it's not trash because it's an anime that you have to read. Just you should go, man, going, we may not like this. Now, for the first time, we're like, we'll just go do something else. But Joe, you then put down the TV show because you thought, oh, Charles is going to love this thing.
Yeah, so I've watched season one and two of Spy X Family, and it's pretty cute. I like it. I'm going to get my wife to watch it eventually. So the gist of it is the main characters, is the family. It's the three of them. The dad is a spy. The daughter can read minds. And the wife is an assassin. But none of them know about each other, their background. So the parents don't know that the daughter can read minds. And they don't know about each other. So,
but how would the daughter not know that they both do what they do if she can read their minds?
She's adopted. Well, she knows. Sorry, you're right. She knows because.
Okay. There's a big old fallacy in there.
Yes. Yes. No, yeah. So she knows, but she doesn't spill the beans to the others. The whole family came together because the husband needed a family for his mission for his spy efforts. So he found a daughter. Then he needed a wife to make it look like a normal family. Well, the assassin was looking for a husband because
same reason, cover.
For cover. Yeah. Cause she was worried about being called out because this is all taking place in what is basically the 40s. It seems like
kind of that vibe that is Zeppelin later on in the movie.
It leads to some pretty interesting hijinks along the way. It is much more comedy than it is anything else. But it has an okay amount of action and suspense and things like that. And so the daughter the whole time, because she can read their minds, is trying to help out because she is obsessed with this spy cartoon. So she's like, my dad's a spy. This is amazing. And so it's pretty cute. I like it.
It has a kind of a 90s anime mixed with Studio Ghibli kind of pastel vibe to it.
For the anime. A little bit, yeah. I don't know what animation studio actually does it, but yeah. It's fun. I like it.
We just saw the red herring.
The kid and the boy in the heron. Or whatever.
The boy in the heron, because I'd never seen a Studio Ghibli in theater, and so I was excited about that.
Yeah, and it won an award too. I can't remember which award, but I remember that it beat out. Yeah, it was like one of the first anime to win the award that it did. I can't remember which one it was, but I haven't seen it yet. Was it good? Do you recommend it?
I was really elevated, and I really enjoyed it. It was trippy as hell. I had my bucket of popcorn and it was great.
Well, there you go.
So Joe, what's this last one?
So the last one I put down is Kids Are Recorders. We were talking about kids picking up language and stuff like that, and that happened to us today. My wife was driving and She's sitting at a light, and we're trying to get somewhere because we're running just a touch late. The light turns green, and the person, you know, takes a little bit longer than they ought to have to get going. And so she...
Your wife? She turns.
Yes, my wife. Okay. She says...
Go, you moron!
Kelsey!
And so our 4-year-old... The just starts saying it over and over and over, and I get that moron's not that bad at all, not even close. And so, but it's just so funny because he's saying it over and over.
Well, I love how much you reinforced it by getting to say it and you recorded it for the show. That's my kind of dad right there.
Sure did. And then when I was alone with him today, I was like, what does mom say when it's green and the person in front of her doesn't go? He says, moron. So
yeah. Roll that dice.
And they both had to go. Okay.
Stay tuned for this commercial break.
Perfect.
Well, all right.
I've got a new song for this. So what we're going to do is, this is the first time we've done it with a guest, is this is where we promote ourselves and we take a little chill out moment and listen to some music. And so, Dan, what I point to you, you're going to talk about, follow me on my socials, and you're going to promote yourself. All right, we're going to do it right here. It's going to be awesome. Before I do that, I want to read a... it's not a speak pipe. It came from our Patreon. JM Devo says, I listened to the Patreon in its entirety. So there you go. Thank you, Devo. We appreciate you. Here,
yeah, because we asked if people listened to the Patreon version, and so that's nice to hear.
All right, here's our chill music. All right, we just talked about it. Go to patreon.com/wise_n_nerdy and join our fandom today. You can be part of the kiddos. You can be part of the Council of Dads. You can even be a Scotch Kateer, where me and you will have a drink of scotch at some random bar sometime when we meet up, because you're not stalking me, I promise you. That's all good. Come and support us. Now, we'd like our friend to talk about where you can find him.
Stoner Gump, everywhere. Other than Facebook, I had to change it to Daniel Gossard there because I wanted to be verified. But yeah, Stoner Gump, one word. You can't do two, otherwise they tell you that you have issues.
And I believe you have a book on a Zahn of Cones.
We have this here. It's herbally infused and chronically bemused. It's a broccoli lover's guide to excellent elevation, teaching about terpenes and all kinds of wonderful things you can do with broccoli, not broccoli.
Now let's chill out.
Dandelions. Dandelions.
That's what I found. Oh, you ruined it. We had such a good moment, Joe. This is what I get. This is my fault. This is what I get for going to Temu and ordering Peter Griffin, and I got the Temu version. I'm sorry.
Wait. Am I the butt face?
Yes, you are. Roll that dice.
Go on.
Let daddy decide.
Right, we're all in anticipation. All right, this is how do I, right? This is for our esteemed guest here. How do I go to the next level as a creator performer? And I'm going to couch it a little bit. When most podcasters, digital media creators together, we're doing it for fun, right? We're doing it to entertain ourselves. Mm-hmm. And at some point, you might shift it to do work. And that's where Joe and I have been. We make a professional show. I do all kind of content. But you are a new level where you're doing live events and you're exploring your options. So how did you go from doing it for fun to the level you're playing at now?
A lot of work. So I think first big mistake folks will do is they drop that main gig that they got going on way too early. I'm still working construction. Granted, my hours are starting to drop back a lot at this point, but it wasn't until I was working, you know, with the combined hours between the content creation and the construction, you know, 80, 90 hours a week, and just getting to the point where I was getting burnt out. And I was like, you know, something's got to change. And so I've started dropping back. I'm working like one day a week now construction. But it was a commitment because it is work. People have this idea that, you start doing the content creation and work stops. I spend just as much time, if not more time, than I used to work in the construction doing the content creation. And depending on how you go about it, it's a lot of promoting yourself. A lot of behind the scenes, connecting with other content creators. That's huge. If you really want to take it to the next step, at every step I've been at, I've tried to connect with content creators that were my size and content creators that were, twice my size. And you can build off of each other's, audience, each other's branding, and really start to grow that way. That's where my biggest growth has come from, is bouncing off of other creators. Because they're a million plus audience. Probably the majority of them has never heard of me. Mine has probably never heard of them. And so once we start playing together, they benefit from mine, I benefit from theirs. And it's the growth is the ultimate goal, because it's a numbers game. Just like with, coming out with your merchandise, stick to something that you're passionate about. Because if you don't have the passion, you're not going to hold the audience. And you're not going to stay true to your content. But yeah, it's a lot of work. I'm still learning. I'm still definitely learning. But I study a lot, and ADHD helps.
Did you ever, imagine putting together a cookbook that, at this point you've sold how many copies?
We're getting damn close to 10,000 copies, and we released in February. I think we're well over 8,000 at this point.
That's
I never thought that would happen.
I remember
that's awesome.
One of your first videos about it, you'd put it on sale, and then you're like, I only order, I think the number was a couple hundred books, like 400 books or something. It was like, I only order, and it's sold out, and like overnight. I don't know what the, and I was like, man, that's
I'm still learning the,
such a habit.
I do it all myself. Not myself, my kids help, the wife helps, but within my household, we run Stoner Gump ourselves. And it's been a lot to learn with, keeping things in stock, the amount of capital you've got to have to rotate between buying your boxes, your books, your shirts, your everything you're doing to try to make it work. Because I expect with what I do, some content creators are different because you can get paid for views. I can't. So that's not the route I can go to make this, a livable wage. I've got to do it, with coming up with cool things people want, collaborations and whatnot, like with Happiest Hour, we've got that collaboration going right now. Yeah. And I've got a bunch of others that I'm working on, and I'm reaching out to companies daily, because I want to find cool stuff. If I can find cool stuff I'm passionate about, I can move it right into my content naturally, and show people something cool and help me keep going in this direction I want to go in.
Yeah, your collaboration with Burrow Hemp is really good there, and that's went good. Well. Yeah, that's a phrase now.
Speaking of them, there's a lot of things content creators should be aware of, especially when you start blowing up, is to be mindful of the speed at which things will take off. You get hooked up with a company too soon and value yourself too low. Uh-huh. You will get stuck. So not a lot of companies will want to, you link up with them at 100,000. Well, when you're at 2 million, they really don't want to renegotiate. They want to keep things the same, even though it shouldn't. Jack Sparrow, I'm not good with names. Who plays that?
Johnny Depp.
Mm-hmm. Johnny Depp. Right. So Pirates of the Caribbean 1, I believe he made, what was it, like 500,000? Pirates of the Caribbean 2, he made like 10 or 12 million. There's growth involved, and companies don't want to pay for that growth. So you need to be careful with contracts.
That's,
make sure you've got somebody looking over them.
Always have an out. An end date, a renew date with everything.
Right.
We talk about that with ad sponsorships, with any kind of creative partnerships that involve money, is you have to have, It doesn't matter if you think you're going to be creating together for 10 years. You have to have a time to come back to the table because growth needs to be renegotiated, but so does loss. Like, hey, hadn't quite worked out the way of things. Instead of just cutting everything loose, let's build together, those kind of things. There has to be a given flow. And then Random Kid says, got to have contracts and allow for growth instead of getting locked into a flat rate. There is that. You're living the rock and roll lifestyle, sir. It sounds like many rock bands. You go, oh, wow, our first record contract was incredible. Even Taylor Swift, right? She had to go back and re-record all her own stuff to have any rights to her own stuff. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Right. And that's something is your trademark. And your name, you got to get that stuff in it. The government is so backlogged, it's ridiculous. I think my trademark is still a year or so out from actually being processed, but it's in the works, and so nobody else is going to get it ahead of me. But it's something you need because these companies, especially once you start working with them and they then have your branding and you start blowing up, well, you got no legal right to your branding until your trademark is through. You are your brand.
Pending? It doesn't even fall under pending protected?
I don't know. I've been waiting for it to go through so I can bicker with. I'll need to check with my lawyer buddy on that one. But yeah, that's something I've been kicking myself in the butt for. Stoner Gump is my brand. I am Stoner Gump. And there's companies out there that have my branding and my imagery. And until I have legal reason for them to take it down,
you can't.
They can keep selling Stoner Gump.
Wow. Now, there's another issue with that, similar issue with that. I haven't seen it lately when I make a comment or something on your video. It'll go, Stoner Gump liked your video, which is you. I think you go through and like everybody. Or not video, liked your comment. But you know where I'm going. Then I get a message from a different Stoner Gump with a whole different symbol, and I am wise to it. It's like, hey, I've got a financial proposition for you. I've tried to report that on your behalf for TikTok, and the hoops you got to jump through to say, no, he's a celebrity. And it's just
TikTok doesn't think I am.
No, they don't. I mean,
I block and report probably 15, 20 accounts daily that are trying to scam people. And that's not exactly, it's 15 to 20 accounts daily. Stoner Gump 1, Stoner Gump 01, Stoner Gump .. official. And they're just trying to scam people. I report every single one of them. They're impersonating me. And I get a response back saying, no, they're not.
Yeah. And that's something you need to be aware of as you gain an audience, as you gain influence. That's going to be a battle. Now, I personally believe you handled it very well. You've just addressed it on your channels, and you've talked about how I will never DM you with financial stuff. You've tapped
right.
And you've pinned it at the top, and that's almost really all you can do until you have, like you said, a lawyer at your beck and call.
Which that's the reason I changed my name on Facebook, because I am the only person that can get verified as Daniel Gossard, because I have to have an ID that proves I am Daniel Gossard. And so I've been trying to go the route of teaching people that Daniel Gossard and Stoner Gump are the same person. But on TikTok, until they want to verify me, people ask, well, how do I know it's the real account? None of the fake ones have over 1 million followers. Just look at the followers.
Yeah.
And because I don't want people getting scammed, and I know what's happening. I've been cussed out. It's about once a week. I get a lot of hateful messages from a random person because they got taken advantage of. I feel horrible for it.
Right.
But then I have to remind them, this is the beginning of our conversation. Look, just look at it. See this right here? This is the beginning of it. We've never talked before. I did not ask you for donations for an orphanage in Africa. Wasn't me.
Those little mushrooms. So Random Kid asks, do you have Dandelion merchandise, like actual dandelions, or is that just a euphemism used here?
I've got air fresheners that have broccoli on them, actual broccoli chasing an astronaut around.
Yeah. I love your bumper sticker that was hold on to the grass so you don't fly off the earth. That's a good one. Uh-huh.
I should have made that one bigger. I might redo it at some point.
One of the things that we are going to talk about at Dragon Con is how you got to the size following you have, talking about a taboo topic on platforms that you don't control. So I want you to think on those, because that's a...
Having a big vocabulary.
Well, that's the 60-minute minute on having a big vocabulary. So no.
Euphemisms.
Yeah. But it, you'll love it. It'll be a good conversation. Joe, do you have any questions about how you go to that next level?
One of my biggest questions, and maybe you're not at this point just yet, I'm not sure, but is what do, I mean, and this is such a vanilla question, but what do people who get bigger and quit their day job, like you're talking about how you do construction work still, what do they do for insurance and stuff? Like, you know, do they just set up their own?
That's a good question.
I was working construction for myself, so I haven't had insurance since I've been an adult.
That'll do it. Because, like, for instance, I know there's this one YouTuber that I follow. He's a Minecraft creator. And he in a recent podcast, he talked about how he actually set up an LLC for his YouTube channel. And he pays himself a wage, and he does his benefits through the LLC and everything like that. So
there's that. But I'll tell insurance is a scam. I hate it so much because one, you don't need it through work. And I'm telling you, if you do get it through work, it might not be as good as you can get it in the open marketplace. It used to be ehealthinsurance.com before they became the federal marketplace. So I don't know if eHealth Insurance is there, but you can go buy your own policy for okay rates on your own, no matter who you are, as long as you're making money and you have it to spend.
Right. Also, and I think that's part of what you're where the disconnect is with what you're saying is the level or the size that you're thinking of. There's a certain point where the numbers click, and it's kind of a no-brainer. Your standard job versus what you're doing that you enjoy, and it's surprising how fast. Like, so it took every bit of a year and a half, 2 years to get to 50,000 followers. It took another year to get to about 130,000 followers. And then between November and December of last year, I went from 500,000 followers to over 1 million followers. Like, the growth is very exponential. Yeah,
that exponential curve.
Right.
Facebook,
I was 7,000 followers a couple months ago, which that's different because I'm already, you know, bigger on another platform. I've got a lot of audience that comes over that way. But the initial growth, yeah, it was a lot of work to start off with. And then all of a sudden there was a boom.
And you're still not getting insurance. So,
yeah, I mean, I was never insured. I wing it.
And being in construction, I imagine you found this out, but from the medical field, I can tell you for sure, you do not get turned away from the ER if you need help.
Right.
You could go and...
Right, my appendix was done for free.
Yeah.
Okay, it wasn't for free. I'm still paying for it now.
Yeah, thank you. Care. You know, yeah.
Right.
But that's the key word. It's for it. Right,
Daniel. Right, they're legally obligated to do it. Right, because it was like $36,000 for, you know, a 30-minute surgery and me staying at the hospital overnight. And so, yeah, I'm still paying for it.
But and it was a life saving thing, and that's some of the key kid stuff. There's ways to do it, but there are definitely people who could use insurance in this world. But it's much like college attendance.
Oh yeah,
not everybody needs to go to college. And colleges could be more specific, and I think insurance could be the same way. But it's a very good question to ask, Joseph, because there are people out there who
perform. It's a scary one.
Yeah.
It's my 18-year-old, he's got type 1 diabetes, and then my 13-year-old, he's got congenital scoliosis. So, like, my 18-year-old, his yearly supplies is between $35,000 and $40,000 to keep his body running, to keep him alive. He's getting to the point at 19, he cannot be on, you know, the children's Medicaid program anymore. And so at that point, you got to figure it out. And then my 13-year-old, we're hoping his insurance lasts until his surgery that he's got coming up, because it's going to be massive. Otherwise, I've got to start searching really hard. So yeah, it's definitely a scary thing being a parent out there, because sometimes some stuff goes down and it's expensive. Yes, medical prices are asinine. We have the highest cost of medical services in the U.S. and the lowest life expectancy for any first world country. We're winning.
I would not have been surprised.
#winning.
I would not have been surprised in that moment if he goes, "Oh yeah, besides being a youth pastor's kid, I was also a doctor before I was in construction." It would not have shocked me at all. You
know? I was a network administrator.
Network administrator
for an ISP.
You gave that up for construction. You must love working with your hands, because that's more of a...
It was where the money was. I'm in Joplin, Missouri, the Midwest. I was working about one of the only, I mean, other than the Geek Squad, there's not a lot of opportunity here unless I was wanting to move.
I got you.
And we had opportunities coming to us with the construction. We've been doing it since, I mean, I've been doing it since I was like 14 with my dad. And so, I mean, we've got 30 some employees. Well, not employees, they're subcontractors. My dad's doing great with his company. And so that's where the money was. The network administration is not where it was. And I was getting fat sitting at a desk. I was getting fat doing construction too. So.
All right. Wait till you meet me. I hate you. He talks about, he jokes around about, putting on weight with the snacks at the midnight. It's like, nah, man, you're minuscule.
I had weight loss surgery. I was 340 pounds at 5'5".
Okay. That was okay. All right.
Yeah. I was a ball. I was bigger this way than this way. You guys are seeing me 130 pounds different here.
That's a lot. That's a whole human being. Right there.
Yeah, that's like almost 350-pound bags of dog food. My knees love me now.
But a side channel, side little stream for you, along the Stoner Gump lines, Gump voice, which I heard you do early on, you do that. Do your Gump voice explaining basic sysadmin and networking for dummies. That I would love to see.
That's what I was doing. So when I was a network administrator, it's when... high-speed internet was coming, but it was when it was taking over. So my portion of the company, I had about 6,000 dial-up clients. So mainly elderly individuals with dial-up. And that's what I did day in and day out, was talking to them through.
I need that video, Skip, from you.
What video?
You talking to you just an old saying. Person trying to explain how to do dial-up as Stone is. What video?
Deaf couple come in at one point. So anytime I would talk to them on the phone, there was, you know, an in-between. I don't know how that worked, but they would call me. The in-between would, you know, I guess it was a video kind of service or something. They got pissed off enough that they came into the shop and they cussed me out on sticky pads. They would write notes and just stick it in my face, and they throw it down. They'd write the next note and stick it in my face.
Oh, that's funny.
It was something. Cussed out by somebody that couldn't talk.
Roll the dice, Joe. I don't know where else to go from there.
Waka waka, bad dad jokes.
We couldn't end with that. We couldn't do the charity, then do the bad. All right. You can have one each. I hate these so much.
Oh, I know you love them. Don't worry about it. Where did the broccoli go to have a few drinks?
The fact that I feel like you altered this joke for this show tonight made me laugh. This sounds like it's going to be painful. Where did the broccoli go to have a few drinks?
The salad bar.
The salad bar.
I did prep Daniel. So Dan, you have a bad day.
Okay, so there's three buddies driving along, right? Their names are Shut Up, Shush, and Trouble. And as they're driving along, Trouble, he was in the back of the truck and he fell out. And they kept on driving, and a cop pulls him over, and he goes up to the driver's side. He says, "Son, what's your name?" He said, "Shut up." "Son, what's your name?" "Shut up." I went to the other side and said, "Son, what's your name?" "Shush." "Boy, what's your name?" "Shush." Are you guys looking for trouble? Yeah, we think we lost him about a half mile back.
That is definitely a dad joke through and through. Oh. And you know what? In honor of the pet preacher's kids here, my dad used to love to tell this. Oh, on Sunday nights. He would not tell this joke on Sunday mornings, but on Sunday nights, he was like, did you know there are cars in the Bible? All the disciples got into one accord, and he thought it was the funniest thing. I'm on the back pew and CJ's going, I hate my life right now. I hate my life right now. So, all right. Oh, no. A couple of pastor's kids in the morning walking to a podcast. All right. Good one, random kid. All right. So the big reason we had Stoner Gump on tonight of all nights is you're right in the middle of a big charity fundraiser homegrown cooking competition on TikTok. And it's for a charity called Lasagna Love. So tell everybody about what that is.
So Lasagna Love is an organization. Anybody can sign up for it to be a provider, or if you're in need. What it is, it's families feeding families. So like the first night of the competition, we made lasagna. I linked up on the Lasagna Love portal, found a family in my area that was needing help with some dinner, and I took them some lasagna. That's what the charity is. It's help, you know, families helping families. So what we're doing, it's called the Home Chef Throwdown. It's sponsored by quite a few companies. The big one, I'm not allowed to mention. They don't like me. it's a big competition. There's 10 content creators in it. I believe Jess is the largest of the content creators. She's 2.6 million or something like that followers. And most of them are culinary, professionals. They're amazing. I'm just in there because the lady that runs it likes my content, and so she let me in. But we're having a good time. We're raising a lot of money for the charity. I think as of this last week, we've raised well over $10,000 in about a 4-week span for the charity. 100% of the proceeds go to the charity. About every $30 feeds a family. Wow. So it's feeding a lot of people.
That's a lot of families there. So each week you're doing a specific challenge on TikTok.
Right. So this last week was the T-Rex challenge. So wifey got behind me. She was my T-Rex arms. And we did the competition that way. Each week's a different challenge. We've been using my book that I showed you guys, Herbally Infused, Chronically Bemused, through the 8-week span. Every book that gets sold, we're donating $4.20 to the charity, which that's been going awesome. The charity is pretty wonderful. They actually changed the vote price to $2 and, they were trying to change the vote price to $2.10 per vote, so that people could vote twice for $4.20, but their program would only let them do dollar amounts. So it ended up being $2. It was sad news. I'd already put out a video talking about how we could donate $4.20.
What's been your favorite part of the competition so far?
I don't know. It's definitely added some, I'm a procrastinator. A lot of these, content creators, they're recording their videos, Friday night, Saturday night. It has to be posted by 7:30 Monday. That's when they, or 7:30 Tuesday. So usually about 5 o'clock Tuesday is when I'm working on trying to record it and edit it. Favorite part is getting together with all the content creators. We've got a big group chat, which also drives me nuts because they're all on different time zones than me. And so I'll be laying in bed and then my phone starts going ding, 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 because they've started a conversation. But getting to know all these different content creators are a large group of wonderful people, all very unique and talented. And their hearts are all in the right place. It's good seeing people using their platforms for something good.
It is from the outside looking in, it's very beautiful to see all the hearts and the funness. Everybody's just having a good time with it. They're taking it serious as in how they do their content, but not serious as in I have to take down my competitors. And
right,
you actually, because you, like you said, you can buy votes, right? You get one free a week and then you can buy votes, and you donated. You bought enough votes for everybody to do the inflatable suit challenge.
So that was, yeah, that was on week three. There was a secret competition and we had enough books purchased. So anybody that had 125 votes purchased for them, the secret challenge was unlocked. And so I went through, and so the day that was announced, they also announced that I had somebody that already had purchased some for me. And so they showed me I was going to be an astronaut. We're not going to do this alone. And so I went through and we used the book sales. And I purchased the 125 for everybody. And then I asked the lady, I said, hey, if I go ahead and purchase 250 votes for Jess, which is the big content creator, can I pick out what hers is? And so they asked Jess and she said, oh, fine. And so I got her a big broccoli blow up.
Yeah. Great. That was fantastic. Now, Lasagna Love, which we have the link right here on the screen, and it's on our chat, and it'll be in our show notes. That's lasagnalove.org. That's nationwide, right? Even Joe in Tennessee could go do that.
Which we need volunteers to sign up. So it's been amazing putting the word out there. I think there's been like 13,000 people sign up in need.
Wow.
Since the competition started. So the word's really getting out there, but I think we've only had like 600 or so volunteers sign up. And so we really need some more people to sign up that are wanting to, you know, make some food for somebody. Because there's apparently a lot of people out there that are, you know, need some help, and it's for whatever reason. It's not you've got to make this little money. It's, you know, my kids in the hospital. You know, it's whatever's going on. It's just, you're needing help. You sign up, and a family helps you out.
Random.
Don't make lasagna. You don't have to make lasagna.
It's lasagna, not lasagna. Yeah. So that was the question for the podcast. What if I'm really bad at making lasagna with a funny face? But that is honestly the first thought I had when you said you hooked up with them and you took over a lasagna. I'm like, well, can we make cakes? I mean, do we only...
Right. You can make anything. It's making dinner. The first week's competition was lasagna to promote Lasagna Love. And so, yes, that's what we did, which we took a couple, you know, pans of lasagna to them. That was a couple and their kid, and I don't know the circumstances, but I know we fed them.
I love this. This is one of my favorite charities. I learned of it through you, but we've done that personally in our lives. Anytime anything happens, to the point that I had a friend in Utah, his wife disappeared for a couple of weeks, and they found her off a ravine, and it was not good. And we ended up ordering a couple of dinners through honeybakedham.com and shipping it out to them. Cause we know, of course, being from the South, it's like this, but it doesn't matter. In that time of need, you're not thinking about feeding yourself. And if you have a family, right, it's hard to get on track to feed them. So just showing up with food in general, both food that can be frozen. I mean, like you made it and can be frozen. Or you buy stuff from Walmart and bring it that they can pop in the microwave.
Right.
I think that makes your life easy. It's such a good thing. So when I heard about this, I told my wife, it's like, you need to get involved. Because we also try to always have some kind of charity work going on with the kids and the family. You know, some kind of
time. Well, it's pretty convenient the way it pops up. You sign up to this. So like I'm currently signed up. I haven't had another ding yet, but it'll pop up and let me know, hey, somebody in your area is needing fed, and you say yes or no. And so it's, you know, I would like people to sign up in all kinds of areas, because it's better that in my area there's somebody that's currently waiting to cook something and nobody needing it, versus the areas that have a lot of people needing it and nobody there cooking it.
You want to know something serendipitous, Charles?
Sure.
My wife just sent me a message. Apparently, and now I knew that the youth at our church were doing a day of service in a few weeks. My wife just sent me a message. They are doing Lasagna Love.
Really?
For it. Yeah. I didn't know that until a minute ago.
Well, guess what? We beat the church. All right. Well, you're bringing it full circle about, you know, how we deal with our kids, you know, this kind of thing where you're helping others with what you can give them and do for them is awesome. So one more time, as we wrap out of here, Stoner Gump, I'm going to play some music after you say it so it doesn't overwhelm you. But where can they find you and help support the competition? Because obviously we've talked about going to lasagnalove.org as a charity directly, but where can they find you in the competition?
So you can go on TikTok with the hashtag Home Chef Throwdown. You'll pull up all the different creators. Also, if you go to the website, you'll have all the creators there. It's simply putting light on the competition is bringing a lot of light to the charity. So interact with the different people in the competition. And I post it across the board. I post it on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok. But TikTok's where its home base is.
Thank you, Joe. And thank you, Dan, for being on tonight. Everybody, this is going for another couple of weeks as of this recording. So we are on April 18th, and it's going through the third or fourth week in May. So you've got
five weeks left.
Yeah. So you definitely... Yep. You've got plenty of time to hear this podcast and get out there and do that. So thank you for being on and sharing all that love with us. And come check them out.
That was a blast, guys. Yes, come to DragonCon. I need people to show up.
Follow these nerdy dads on social media. Charles at Rock God of Podcasting. Joe at Joseph _ Ard. Check out the website, wiseandnerdy.com. And as always, they may not be your father, but they'll always be your daddy.
It's a Slurpee, not a Slurpee.
What?
Oh, see, no, that was like the best joke I've ever told for the end of the show.
All hail, King of the Losers!